BroCon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 yes. WGN. All right, Pat Brady, our legal analyst 2.0, is our first string legal analyst, Mr. Mike Monaco.
He's busy.
Is just blew past the cameras in Washington with Michael Cohen, his fine client.
We were all concerned because he didn't have his really lovely scarf on, that purple, beautiful scarf he wears every day.
I want to call him and tell him, hey.
Don't leave that anywhere.
Jeff, call him and tell him that he left his scarf in the secret hearing room at the Capitol.
Don't trust any of those guys.
Yeah. He left something behind so he can go back and listen to what the senators are all saying about his client.
I knew it.
we were just saying to Pat Brady, who is former, I mean, Pat's done everything, but Pat is a former assistant United States attorney. And he also ran the Republican Party of the state of Illinois. Congratulations on that. Did a real good job.
We got him right where we want him, Ro.
Yep. I would like to say that this is, we were just talking about this. This is like, we've never had as much of a front row, pardon the expression, no relation, seat to history as it's unfolding on the state level, on the federal level, on the local level. It's happening right in front of our eyes.
Well, Monaco, you flipped it on. I'm like, I had to do a double take. I go, there's Monaco. And then there's Monaco for like the next 8 hours.
I know.
Right there. Over Michael Cohen's shoulder the entire time.
How did he keep a straight face though, the whole time?
Well, a couple times he nodded off. I think that helped him.
And then Ro texted him and said, wake up.
I was texting him and watching him read his phone, I felt so powerful at that moment. I don't know why. But there was a woman that was sitting behind them that was like, as you pointed out,
distracting as heck.
A human emoji. It was almost like for the hearing impaired. She was expressing, you know how the hearing impaired people now, they express like emotion while they're doing
it?
Yes. Yeah, they're doing sign language. That's what she was doing, except she wasn't doing sign language. She was like, oh my!
Yeah. It's like over exaggerated, kind of like, oh, that's not true. No.
No. Oh my. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, sad, sad face. Oh, happy. Oh, that was a funny
That's right.
One. Yeah. Yay.
I was like, what is up with her?
I never asked Mike this. We'll have to ask him. Did they pay that woman to sit there and distract us and lead us along emotionally? All right, let's talk about Aaron Schock, because this, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people.
It's quite the shock.
See what we did there?
You know, you're the first one to do that
tonight.
Yeah,
I know, right.
So Aaron Schock, remember, he was a congressman from downstate Illinois.
Peoria, yep.
And he was a guy that's all downstate does, Pat. I know you're
he knows the lines.
Rockford's downstate to you, Ro.
Yes, that's true.
Pat knows all the gerrymandered lines. He's like, all right.
Yeah. Rockford to me is still south of I-80, even though it's 100 miles north. I want to know how this happened, because this case, Aaron Schock had to leave Congress because the federal government indicted him for not properly accounting for campaign funds.
Ooh, I think it was more stealing campaign funds. That was the charge.
Not properly account. Well, now they're not charging him. He redecorated his office.
Yeah, it was reimbursements for travel and other things.
Right, and some pretty luxurious things.
Right, he had a charter flight to the Bears game. He had some tickets that he resold, some sports tickets.
Yeah, if you read the indictment, listen, Aaron's a friend, I've known him a long time. When he read the indictment, you didn't really particularly care for Aaron Schock, if you believe the indictment, because it was so excessive in the abuses that he was charged with.
Did you ever work out with him?
Hey, he looked like you before I started working out with him.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Before and after.
He was a gym rat. He was the guys in the House gym. They have a very nice gym at the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
And he and Kinzinger are in there pumping iron at 5:30 in the morning. Well, Kinzinger's more like 9:30 in the morning. But
I was cutting through the airport once, and I look to the right in that NBC store, and I see a magazine, and then I see our congressman with his shirt on.
Yes.
On the front, so I call up our friend Adam Kinzinger, who is
not related,
and I go,
not
please don't.
But also
do that.
Known to go shirtless.
He does go shirtless, but for other reasons.
Yeah,
he goes shirtless with a bandolier around his chest,
very
shooting guns
reasons.
And stuff. Yeah, but the Aaron Schock thing always kind of surprised everybody. It was like on Men's Health magazine or something, right? Or Hot Congressman, or so. What was the name of the magazine?
I think it was Men's Health.
Yeah. Was it Men's Health?
The guy's he's in phenomenal shape. Mm-hmm.
And then his Instagram page was very lavish, where it showed that he did a lot of fun things with celebrities, and he was at backstage at concerts, and he had this like rich kid of Instagram type image.
Yeah, surfing in Hawaii, and the thing that drew the attention to it was the Downton Abbey designed office.
Mm-hmm. But, but all of it seems to amount to nothing now. No criminal convictions against him. His campaign has a misdemeanor, and they've got to pay some money back. But
they charged him with 24 counts, some serious stuff. They said it was a bad indictment. And what happened, it was charged in the Central District of Illinois, which is not the Northern District of Illinois, Chicago, which is Springfield. It was dragging on, and then there became allegations of bad conduct by the judge who was taken off the case, not related to the case, but related to some other conversations he had with the U.S. Attorney's Office. Then the Justice Department came in, filed a motion to take the Central District off the case. And the allegations in that, among other things in the complaint where they did that, were that they made statements, the prosecutors in Springfield, to the grand jury about the fact that Aaron Schock, the defendant in this case, would never testify, which is kind of prosecution 101. You never comment on the fact that a defendant doesn't have to testify. I mean, that's how you first take into the prosecutor's office. They never say that. So they were removed, and it came up here, and it got up here. I think the people that really do this for a living figured out that they didn't have a very good case. I don't know why or what happened with the evidence, but then today they must have had nothing because they knocked it down to a misdemeanor.
Well, Aaron Schock said that. He said, this outcome today validates that there should never have been a case to begin with. Do you agree with that? He says, 4 years later, millions of dollars, we come down to this?
No, I don't. Not from reading the indictment.
The indictment was put together by the investigators in Washington who put the evidence in.
This is Central District of...
But the evidence was all given. I mean, this is FBI and whoever else was doing this. Investigators giving them all the detail here.
Yeah, right? Well, there's a FBI. I'm sure there was one in Springfield, but the U.S. attorneys in Springfield are the ones ultimately responsible for charging it and how it is charged. I think this is one of those cases, and it happened to Ted Stevens, who was probably charged wrongly in some other cases. In fact, it happened when I was there once, a case in Michigan. This was bad conduct by the prosecutors, it appears. And that's what I think led to a lot of this. Now, maybe there's more to it. There's more evidence that disappeared. The evidence wasn't there to begin with. But there were allegations in these motions that the Schock team filed about some of the questions they were asking Aaron Schock that were completely inappropriate. And at some point, in the interest of justice, a judge will say, you know, enough's enough. I don't care what the facts are. This case is gone.
So let's cut right through that, because there's something important that's in the middle of all of that, and that Aaron Schock has acknowledged in all of this, which is there were questions about his sexuality, right, that he was being asked by the prosecutors. And the idea there, I mean, this is what I think when I hear that, is them basically saying, listen, do you really want your lifestyle to be on trial here? And Aaron Schock, for the record, says that he's straight and that whatever they were asking him is inaccurate, or what they were positing is inaccurate, and that he's never had any kind of a situation like that. So he stands by that, but he says that by asking that is almost like extorting him.
Of course it is.
To try to pressuring him into saying, I did the Downton Abbey thing, and I probably shouldn't have. I didn't pay it back properly. I plead guilty, right? But I mean, but prosecutors use levers all the time.
Yeah, that's dialed bottom of the deck. I can't cite chapter and verse on what it is, but to me, that is an ethical violation. You don't do that. The prosecutor is supposed to be wearing the white hat, and you certainly don't threaten somebody with exposing a lifestyle choice or whatever, however you want to define it.
Personally embarrassing, not
personally
embarrassing.
Not, no, do it. You've got you have the facts here. You don't need that. And if you have a bunch of, if I had heard that as a supervisor, if I was a supervisor, I would have fired them all. That to me, it's so over the line.
They said some witnesses were testifying before a grand jury when they too were asked about his sex life. So it seemed
What is that?
Obsession with
it's that weird
part of his life.
Yeah,
very strange.
It has nothing to do with stealing government money. But there was a bigger argument too. He was trying to make that the House rules dictate what he can do with that money, and there was a separation of powers argument. They actually took to the Seventh Circuit and lost.
Jesse Jackson Jr. said he sort of remarked about this case that I paid back every cent too, but I wasn't granted this opportunity. I still had to go to prison.
Jesse's case was pretty strong.
Because again, we saw the indictment when it came in.
Yeah.
I haven't read it in 2 years, but I remember seeing it when it came in. And it was, as you point out, it was an indictment.
I mean, you got done reading that. And again, I've known Aaron for a long time. I read it. I'm like, man.
But they couldn't prove it up. is what you're saying.
Well, something fell apart. It might have been, like I said before, it might have been bad conduct by the prosecutors, or maybe just evidence fell apart. It happens. Not often, because the review process to go get an indictment as a Justice Department lawyer, is, especially for public corruption, takes a long time.
Well, I will ask you this in about 20 seconds. Oh, you know, let me ask you this on the other side. But ask, I'll ask you, then you'll answer it on the other side. Does this play into the narrative that the Justice Department is out of control? Stay right there, Pat Brady. You want to answer that question?
Can I call Monica?
Right after.
He's busy. He's on CNN.
He's busy right. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the news?
We'll bring you part two of our series, R. Kelly Offstage.
All right, Pat Brady is here, and Aaron Schock, the congressman from downstate, from Peoria, was basically let go by the federal government today after a four-year rigmarole over whether or not he was stealing money from his own campaign and not paying it back properly. The DOJ drops the case. Does this play into the narrative that the Department of Justice has gone rogue, Pat Brady?
Yes, I do. I think that it does.
It does play into the narrative.
Has it
gone rogue?
No, not at all. There's a bunch of fine people working there. This happens every once in a while. And I guess the thing, too, with Trump, even Trump's own attorney, Ty Cobb, yesterday described Bob Mueller as a patriot and American hero.
Mm-hmm.
So the suggestion that the FBI or anybody has gone rogue is ridiculous. I think I probably said this before on the show. My first case was a huge case, and I remember thinking to myself, there's no way these guys conspired to do anything. They couldn't conspire to order a paperclip. It just doesn't work that way.
This was just a badly put together case, and then bad behavior by the prosecutors during the questioning of him. And look out, right? That about sums this up?
Yeah, that's what Monica told me.
Thank you.
I just can't wait till he's back.
Trust me, Pat. If we could have gotten him, you wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah. All right, try to dress up a little more for us, too, Pat.
News in 2 minutes.